that's International Women's Day, for a special 3-hour 30th anniversary show. The 30th anniversary of Shocks of Sheba will feature 3 hours of the best in women's reggae. That's noon to 3, March 8th. KBOO celebrates women and 30 years of Shocks of Sheba.
KBOO is building a city of media makers. For 50 years, KBOO has had an open-door policy and trained anyone who is interested to create radio and media. We believe in mutual aid, a reciprocal change of resources and services for the benefit of all. What a stale place Portland could be if we lose our diversity of voices and our creative climate that emphasizes fun, truth, beauty, joy, peace, love, and justice. We know that with our expertise and your support, we can keep this city creative, activated, and aware through radio we make together. Invest in the future of media makers and join us on Kickstarter today. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter and thank you for your support of KBOO.
To you, the 9-to-5er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Holla! Welcome to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. My name is Tina Turner Morfitt. I am a member of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Union and the president of the Oregon chapter of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight, I'm joined by my sister in the struggle, Dr. Audrey Terrell, who's the vice president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists and a retiree of the United Auto Workers. Tonight, our segment, our guest is Babatunde Azubuike.
Got it.
And he's here to talk to us tonight about a program that's really unique to Portland. And the program is a program developed for the Portland metro area, and it's for black youth ages from 14 to 24, and it's entitled Umoja Kinjana Suja. Did I get that right?
Suja.
All right. Okay. So, Babatunde, why don't you tell our listeners about your program?
Awesome. Cool. So, Umoja Kinjana Suja was actually just created last year while I was actually working at Portland Jobs with Justice. At the time, I was employed there as their campaign organizer and really just kind of starting to get involved in the community after moving across the country from Atlanta. And so this program is really, really was developed to kind of create an exclusive space for black youth, which we know here in Portland, those spaces are few and far between. There are some that exist, but I think that having more of them can only be better for the community. So this program is a stipended program for youth 14 to 24 in Portland Metro. So yeah, that's just a little kind of an intro. I'm sure we'll get to more of the nitty gritty.
All right. Well, I understand from your bio that you're from Athens, Georgia.
Yep.
And you were raised by women. Is that about right?
All women, yes. All women. I have four sisters. I was raised by my mother, so I grew up in an all-woman household.
Okay.
All Wouldn't right. have it any other way.
And coming to Portland, how long have you been here?
I've been here a little over a year now. Still culture shocked, but, you know, I'm here.
I bet.
Yeah.
So tell our listeners about some of the other programs that you've worked on, some of the campaigns.
Oh, yeah. I worked with HRC in a couple of different capacities. One was working in Chattanooga to get inclusive protections for city workers. Mm-hmm. So that's trans, gender nonconforming, LGBT folks, so they could have benefits to protect them from discrimination, as well as benefits for their partners.
Okay.
Similarly, I worked on another campaign like that for HRC in Springfield, Missouri.
What's HRC?
The Human Rights Campaign.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. But yeah, worked on a campaign there, similar, same issue, getting protections, combating a lot of these really toxic bathroom bills that come out too.
Sure.
To try to, like, you know, decentralize the authenticity of, like, trans people actually living their truths.
Okay.
And things like that. So
okay.
Also, I've done a lot of campaign where I could keep going. Also, I worked on a campaign, Fight for 15.
Okay.
Back in Atlanta, Georgia, with SEIU and Action Network, North Carolina, to try and organize the airport workers there, which is, by the way, Atlanta Airport is the biggest one in the world.
Okay.
So.
The ATL, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand there's a lot happening in ATL. Okay. All right. So, seems to me that this is the second year for your program. Is that about right? So, what was the outcome of the program last year?
So I think one of the biggest takeaways last year was really, you know, it started off as like a pilot program. It was very intimate and very small.
Mm-hmm.
But the takeaway that I got is there is a hunger for this type of program and this type of work. And younger black folks are really, you know, just wanting to get the skills so they can, like, you know, live a better life.
Okay.
And create sustainability within their communities, you know, get more involved in their communities and find other options. And other capacities to do work outside of just going straight to college.
Sure. Well, it's my impression that it's more than just wanting to live a better life.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that your program brings a lot more to it,
mm-hmm.
as far as self-acknowledgement.
Yes.
Am I on the right track?
Yeah, absolutely. That was another really, oh my gosh, beautiful experience just being around these youth and, like, you know, just telling them, like, this is a black space,
mm-hmm.
you know? You don't have to filter, like, because that's the thing, you know, black folks know what I'm talking about. We code switch all the time, you know? We talk one way when we're around each other, but it's a whole other way when we go out into the world. And it was a really beautiful thing for them to just be like, you know, I'm young, I'm black, you know, the world, especially here in Portland, like, the things they would say, people look at you weird and follow you around stores, immediately think you're dumb or stupid or all these other things. But they were like, no, I can be myself here and bring my whole self. And, like, that's beautiful, you know?
Okay.
Like, people, we did a one exercise where we did an I am poem, and it's kind of like you talk about a food where you're from, you know, something relevant about your family, where you're from and the location. And, like, people were just like, I'm proud, I'm from Portland, I'm black, and I'm still here,
mm-hmm.
you know? So that was really, really beautiful.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to say, because I'm a relocator also, I relocated here 5 years ago. It's just, Portland is just, they're just open-minded,
mm-hmm.
to so many different things. I lived in Corpus Christi, Texas. I lived in Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Oakland, California. In the past 5 or 6 years living here, they jump on the issues. They're not afraid to speak out and protest against it.
Mm-hmm.
I love the governor and they're all what they stand for, and the congressmen and senate, because if you notice, those are congressmen and senators in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
they kind of resolve, but not the ones from Portland and from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
They speak out. So I understand what you're saying, that's openness. And about your program, I just want to relate that I'm president and CEO of the Dr. Architectural Institute, which I mentor young people,
mm-hmm.
14 to however old. And one of the areas, not only getting into college,
mm-hmm.
you have another option.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a job,
mm-hmm.
now.
Yep.
Just take the right math.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get into this apprenticeship program.
Yes.
And then you can bypass all that big school student loan.
Yeah.
And another big thing, you can make money now.
Yes, yes.
You don't have to.
Good money
now if you can pass an apprenticeship
program, mm-hmm.
and get into the trade.
Absolutely.
So it's an excellent program, and I'm certainly going to be participatory in
mm-hmm.
it and let them know that there are options.
Yes.
And pursue those options. And you're right. It's a place here. This is a need. There is a great need here
mm-hmm.
for you, for their program, And I'm very, very excited about it being, and I'm glad that CDTU is going to be participatory, that we can bring this education to our youth now and put it in their minds early, like when they're 13 and 14.
Yes.
You know, hey, everybody talking about going to a college. Well, you might want to do something else, but prepare yourself for that. Just want to be in the 12th grade, you graduate, and then what?
Right.
From high school, and then what? No. Prepare them early, so I appreciate your program.
Yeah. I actually was having a conversation with some folks today about the importance of getting folks to understand there are other options than college. Like, the trades, I wish somebody would have broke it down for me like that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I guess ultimately I did kind of end up in a trade doing, like, food service work and working as a chef and all those things. But just making more options available, because, you know, for a lot of people, it really just doesn't resonate with them. They're like, I just did school my whole life.
Right.
You know, I'm not trying to go to school for like another 4, 8, 20 years for some people, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So tell us again about your program. I want to know more about it. You can't, you cannot tell me more.
Okay, my mic wasn't working, and I apologize for that. But I still want to continue on. Tell me more about your program, because of my institute, I would like very much for them to be more involved in it. So could you tell me more about the program?
Yeah, absolutely. So this year, the program has a couple of modifications, but this part of it is still the same. So starting in about July, we'll do 6 weeks, and that's every Friday from about 11 to 5. We'll get together and discuss a different topic. As we're discussing these topics, you know, I'll be recruiting local folks with expertise in those areas to come in and train, because I feel like it's really, really important to bring all folks in the community into that type of space. And obviously, there are some areas that I shouldn't be training. I'm not an immigrant, and we do some immigrants' rights and immigrant justice things in there. So I bring in other folks, you know, Black immigrants and folks like that, who can come and really do it justice, you know, because it's somebody who's not impacted by those things. I can't be leading everything.
Correct.
And so in addition to doing that, this year is also going to be a healing focus, because I think that now more than ever, we've got to begin to kind of build more resiliency within our communities. And by resiliency, I mean collective self-care, collective care where we're taking care of each other. Have you had water? Have you eaten today? You know, and just like getting into the practice of like these basic things that seem trivial, but most of us are not thinking about it. We're too busy trying to survive. You know,
yes.
As well as there is an action component. Last year, we actually did a solidarity action with the Burgerville worker folks, where a bunch of the youth wrote like thank you cards and took some flyers into them, as well as we took them a ton of pizza because they don't let their employees eat. So we decided to feed them. If your job won't feed you, your community will feed you.
Sure.
You know, that was really, really awesome. In LACE International, which is the organization that I work for, does this event called the Night Out for Safety and Liberation, where basically we bring together over 200 something people to kind of reimagine what our communities could look like beyond policing and criminalization. And a lot of the youth from Emoja took part in planning that and as well, which was like a really, really amazing thing to see. From like day one, they come in and nobody's really talking to each other, to like, you know, leading up to this action where people are on stage and calling shots and doing spoken word and, you know, setting everything up and directing volunteers. Like, that's pretty amazing. And, you know, that's in 6 weeks of like really intentional outreach, really intentional work being put in with these youth, you know. And I mean, it's not like I'm just coming in to save them. They've got their own set of skills, you know. They're also teaching me I go. You know, I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot, especially about being here, you know, and coming into Portland, not being from here, and getting the real deal from them. I was like very, very thankful for that.
Okay.
I just want to say something, because I work with Black student unions, quite a few high schools. I'm finding out these kids are so smart.
Yes.
Early 10th grade, 11th grade. I mean, so to bring this program to him early is right on time, because I think I wasn't that sharp when I was in high school, you know.
Cause same.
You know, I wasn't that. But it could be social media. Do you think the social media is causing them to be so aware?
Oh, yeah.
And cognate? You know, with that, you know, they're marching about,
you know, get away with all the guns and stuff like that. They are really, really very intelligent, mm-hmm. and social conscious. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's because of the time or because of the social media or whatever, but your timing for this program is excellent. Mm. Excellent. I think we got to get out of that pattern. What worked back then is not going to work now.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got to find another way to get to these young people. And I'm telling you, they're excellent rappers. Mm-hmm. They write poetry. Mm-hmm. And I have 5 high schools I work with, and I'm awed at them, mm-hmm. at their intelligence level. So if they can do that, they also can determine their lifestyle or and the amount of money they make early.
Mm-hmm.
So get into a program, can work toward that. If they want to go to college along the way, yeah, because it's very expensive, by the way. And but in the meantime, they're able to become, what is it, millennium now? Is that what they call them? Millennials or whatever.
Yeah. I think they're on Generation Z now.
Is Generation Z?
I don't know. I'm a millennial, so I don't know.
but I'm just saying, you had to get to that. Something had to happen for you to get to that point, mm-hmm. where we were just as happy, you know, to at a certain level of life to accept the way it is. No, they want it now.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be able to work and own their own condo and mm-hmm. own their own car. And then so education has to find its way around it or somewhere. But it's different now. So I really appreciate your program.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'd like to remind our listeners, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Coalition of Black Trades Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our guest tonight is Babatunde Azubuike, who has a program that he has worked with. They had a pilot program last year. It's called Umoja. And they are getting ready to kickstart it again. And so, again, you want to give our listeners another taste of what the program's goals are.
Yeah, definitely. I think the biggest goal for Umoja is, one, to increase, community engagement amongst Black youth. To also kind of prepare them to take on leadership roles, as well as to kind of, at this stage, build intergenerationally. So we're reaching back, you know, working with the youth, we're reaching forward and working with the elders, as well as, like, the ultimate goal is Black liberation.
Okay.
You know, and that means a lot of different things. That's workers' rights, you know, that's reproductive justice, that's LGBTQ, gender justice, all of it. It's all inclusive because you can't typecast Black folks into one thing. But this program is super, super exciting. I'm really, really happy and pleased to be carrying it into its second year. Again, for folks listening, it's for youth 14 to 24, Black folks exclusively.
Okay. So how do you go about recruiting your participants?
So last year, when I look back on it, I'm amazed. I cold recruited everybody. You know, so
wow.
I literally just went out into the community, mm-hmm. reaching out to the high schools. I went straight for the BSUs and mm-hmm. be out straight to the high schools, because at least for me, I think that there are a lot of options and opportunities for people once they get into college. But one of the glaring areas that is, like, always omitted is just the high school folks,
mm-hmm.
you know, people who are just getting into high school who don't really know anything. They, like,
right.
straight out of middle school. So,
right.
you know.
Exactly.
And I think that's the perfect time, like you were saying, is it's the perfect time to really get in and inoculate them and, like, open their mind up, open their eyes up to all the different options that are available to them.
Okay. So if there's a person out there listening now, youth, how would they get in touch with you?
If you want to get in touch with me, I would say you should email info@enlace.org, and just reach out and say you have some interest in Umoja, and I will definitely follow up with you promptly.
Okay, so when does your program start again?
Umoja, the first day will take place, I believe, on July 7th. But the program starts in July. We've got a lot of work ahead of us over these next couple months getting everything into place. We're very lucky to have CBTU as an anchor, as well as Sankofa Collective Northwest. So some folks who are doing really, really good work. But yeah, things are going to kick off in July. Was hoping to kick it off in June, but the way things are going, just got to push it back a little bit. But
sure.
Okay. Yeah. As soon as you can, could you get me a flyer?
Mm-hmm.
So, because I go to the BSUs,
mm-hmm.
and I could just start passing it and start getting it in their mindset before they scatter for yeah. summer, and start talking about it in their meetings and stuff. So, and even put it on their chat with, you know, they chat all the time. What is that, Snapchat or something?
Oh, like? Snapchat? I don't know nothing about that.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd be in meetings with them, and they'd be saying some things that I'm in a lost. I'm saying, what? You do nah. what? But anyway, how I can have a continuous conversation with them.
Absolutely.
A flyer out and get it to us so we can start making contact with the youth that we know.
Absolutely. And other folks out there too, if you are in contact with a lot of Black youth and you think this is a great opportunity, also email me. I will come up and, you know, do a presentation, and we can bring some of the youth from last year, because they can really speak to the true experience that they had in the program as well.
So what's your goal for size?
For size? So I actually had to like do some adjustments there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the really, really amazing, and I just flabbergasted, and I think really isn't a test of the program, is that initially when I was making the plan, I had hoped to retain 4 of the youth from last year,
mm-hmm.
And recruit 15 more. So that would bring it to 19 for participants. And in doing like interviews and, you know, mentoring the youth and mm-hmm. the conversation I've been having with folks, everybody wants to come back.
Sweet.
So we've had to do we've had to do some additional grants to make sure that we can accommodate all these folks within the program. But it's a labor of love. You know, we've got folks doing that work, and that is just really, really exciting. So it looks like it's going to be about 24-25 folks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, there's nothing better than having a graduate of the program to be able to come back and help guide new participants so that they have a better idea of, you know, of how to get the most out of the program as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as people listen to this and we talk around, there may be some leaders in the community, whoever, who may want to come and be a part. So is there a contact number, a phone contact number or text number that we can contact you at?
I can get the Enlace number. I just don't want to give my cell phone number
sure,
out.
Sure. That's what I,
you know.
That's what
yeah, I'll pull that number up, and yeah, I just don't want to do that.
Oh, no. We need a, you know, but some people,
because
we, as people listen to this and they want to have a few questions or
absolutely,
they want some follow up, I think this would be, if we had some kind of phone contact number, that would be good.
So it's my impression another idea that you had
mm-hmm.
was beyond the initial program
mm-hmm.
that there would be some follow up and some mentoring.
Absolutely. My goodness. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up.
Sure.
So as of right now, the way that the program was situated last year, because it was a pilot, I just took on ownership of doing the mentorship for these 8 youth, and that has been exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm calling in the reinforcements. We are going to be adding another component where we're going to be recruiting elders from the community who are engaged and are doing work, either volunteer or paid, whatever it might be, to also engage with these youth. And we're also going to be able to offer mm-hmm. a stipend
okay.
for those who are doing that work sure. as well, which is really, really exciting.
Okay.
But I think that really is just a part of like the Black radical tradition, is intergenerational organizing. You get the elders and you get the youth involved and everyone in between.
Okay.
So this program, it has a lot to offer for youth from the ages of 14 to 24. But as I see you talking about the program, your eyes light up. Can
yeah.
you give me some idea of what's in that glint that I see?
I think ultimately what it feels like for me, I really am in awe of youth every time I'm in space with them, every time I share space with them. Like, the stuff that they say and the things that they talk about, I'm like, y'all are like light years mm-hmm. from where I was,
mm-hmm.
well from where I was, you know? And, you know, they're very conscious. I think that, I don't think it's social media that's made them like that, though. I don't want to give social media that kind of credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that social media has made it clearer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's become crystal clear, at least a lot clearer for folks who are actually doing the work,
mm-hmm.
you know? I think that, you know, the youth that are out there in these streets today and that are changing the world one day at a time, they couldn't have done those things without, like, the elders in our community doing what they did. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always, like, standing on somebody's shoulders mm-hmm. at every step of the work. And I think that they are really starting to see, and early, because the world is super messed up. Right. I mean, look at who we got in office right now. It's mm-hmm. kind of hard to miss, you know? Right, hard to miss. So I think that people are like, okay, I don't want to grow up in this. Right. I don't want to, I want to have Social Security when I get older. I deserve health care. I deserve jobs, you know?
Yes.
And we don't need no walls. So, you know, we definitely don't need guns. So the youth are, like, you know, taking the lead and doing the thing. And I think that mm-hmm. them being young, like, they just are fearless.
Yes.
They're just
yes,
so fearless.
They are,
and
sure.
I think, for me, I think, too, getting folks to really understand that Black liberation is the key to liberation for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, like, the glint is because mm-hmm. I get the glint because they know that.
Okay.
And I see that happen, like, over the course of, like, us learning together and building together, they start to understand. And then I'm like, oh, my God. It's just amazing. It's really, really good.
Yeah. It's like I said, every time I talk to you about this program, I just, like I said, I just see that glint in your eye.
Yeah.
And it just reassures me that you have a wonderful connection
mm-hmm.
and you have wonderful insight to be able to listen to these youth
mm-hmm.
and help them stoke their own fires.
Absolutely.
Because from what I get from you is that they have it within themselves,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes it's hard getting it out. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's hard getting that message across. Sometimes maybe they don't realize that they really have it in them
mm-hmm.
and that's what the program is designed to do, is to build strength from within.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, all of us came out, we're on the other side mm-hmm. a bit, right? We've been through the things when we mm-hmm. were young and people were like, you are not this, you're not that.
Right.
And they're like just coming into themselves. So I think it's really, really, really important that they hear as soon as possible that they can literally do anything.
Yes.
They can change the world.
Yes.
You can do anything. And so the more that we do that, the freer we all will be.
Okay. All right. And I think with today's times, it's really important to start that messaging now to let them know that, yes, they can do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And because, again, we have such a negative vibe that's out there
mm-hmm.
that is so bent on trying to hold us down.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Got that number.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you want to give our listeners that number?
Yes, if you are interested in Emoja and you would like to reach out, you can call in Lasse. If no one answers, please leave a message. My name is Babatunde. The number is 503-295-6466. One more time, 503-295-6466.
Okay, well, Sister Terrell, you have some announcements for us?
Yes, I do. I have two. The Coalition of Black Trade Unions meets the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Union, with Bill Lucy's building at 6025 East Burnside here in Portland. So you can come and meet with us on March the 13th. And the other is the announcement of my institute is having their third annual awards luncheon. And what I'm really, really impressed about is that we're going to recognize some of the most wonderful leading women that have done so much work. The theme this year is Women Leading the Way to Success. A woman of faith will be Bishop Grace Osborne, the pastor of the Grace Covenant Fellowship Church here in Portland. Women in Labor Unions will be Pat Daniels, the executive director of Constructing Hope. A woman in education would be Dr. Karen Edwards. She's president of the Portland Community College Cascade Campus. And we will have a woman in communication, a beautiful lady I had a chance to meet, Angela Jenkins, who has worked long, long hours, many, many days and years and months, as executive director of KBMS AM 1480. The event will be Saturday, March the 24th at 12 noon at Park Rose High School Community Center, 12003 Northeast Schaefer Street, Portland, Oregon. If you want more information, you can call me at 313-510-9968, or you can get you some tickets at eventbrite.com. It is the Datai Third Annual Awards Luncheon, and we hope to see you there.
So, Babatunde, You have any more information for our listeners?
Yes, I actually wanted to shout out one other leadership development cohort I'm doing for Atlase called We Rise, which is a program dedicated to community building and healing towards liberation for women of color, gender nonconforming folks of color, and trans folks of color. And we are accepting applications for that until March 31st. So if you are interested in that as well, you can also hit that number again and reach me there, or hit info@enlaceintl.org. The number one more time is 503-295-6466. Trans and gender nonconforming folks of color and black folks are strongly encouraged to apply for any and all programming that I've mentioned.
Well, brothers and sisters, that kind of wraps it up for us tonight. Again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for next month. We're looking forward to having you tune in, and holla.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KABU is building a city of media makers. For 50 years, KABU has had an open-door policy and trained anyone who is interested to create radio and media. We believe in mutual aid, a reciprocal change of resources and services for the benefit of all. What a stale place Portland could be if we lose our diversity of voices and our creative climate that emphasizes fun, truth, beauty, joy, peace, love, and justice. We know that with our expertise and your support, we can keep this city creative, activated, and aware through radio we make together. Invest in the future of media makers and join us on Kickstarter today. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter, and thank you for your support of KABU.